My, as you will see from the bulletin, my message today is four lessons that we can learn from geese. And I'm just going to explain to you how everything works. Here, next slide, please. This is how my mind works. This is how I come up with stuff, okay? So when John asked me a number of weeks ago, hey, can I do this? I was thinking, okay, what's it going to be? I do not have a whole library of messages sitting in a file somewhere. So I just basically work with whatever I feel inspired. I pray about it. And so what happened was, this is how my mind worked. So this is how this happened. I was installing some weather stripping on our front door the Saturday after our men's breakfast, which was November 2nd. And just had a great meeting with the guys, as always. I love fellowshipping with our men. I believe we had 19. There was 19, and there was bacon. Oh, there was so much bacon. So I'm in an absolutely great mood. So I'm, you know, working on the front door, and it was a gorgeous day, pretty much like it was yesterday. So I'm just loving the day. Can't believe we're in November, and it's so nice out. And then, of course, I heard geese going over. You know, you hear them, and then, of course, you just have to look. I don't know why you know they're geese, but I looked, and sure enough, they're in their typical V pattern and flying over, and I just thought for myself, wow, I wonder if I can make a message about geese. So, yeah, I know, that's just how my mind works. Not a great thing. So, thought about it for a little while, continued my work, and then I got thinking again of about 5 or 6 years ago, my sisters were moving. They're in Winnipeg. They live in Winnipeg. And they were moving to a much smaller condo. They had a four-level split. So my wife and I went down to help them. And, of course, that meant lots and lots of runs to the garbage dump. Just tons of them. I probably made 5 or 6 because I had a half ton at the time. So if you know anything about Winnipeg, the garbage dump close to them was just off Perimeter Road. So I'm driving the Perimeter Road. I take a turn off towards the dump, and I come to this road, and sure enough, I see in the distance, oh, we got a couple of objects low to the ground moving. So I slow down, and it's a pair of ducks. And, pardon me? Oh, sorry, geese. I'm sorry. A pair of geese, I'm sorry. So a couple of geese are walking across. And so I slow down. Hey, I got all the time in the world. And it's a pretty decent day. And as I slow down and get a little closer, they're just waddling across, and one of the geese is just squawking, just making up a racket. And the other geese is basically, I'm only assuming it was the guy. I could be wrong. I'm not sexist. It's not a sexist thing. But he wasn't listening. He was getting an earful from the other geese. And so, again, how my mind works, I read a lot of comic books back in my day. And so I'm thinking, and of course, there's all sorts of talking animals in comic books. So I'm thinking to myself, as I'm killing some time, I wonder what's going on there. And I'm thinking that this was what I came up with, that the male geese probably decided, hey, this would be a nice place to set up home in a garbage dump. You know, and the other geese was just giving him grief about it. Just telling him, like, yeah, you got to be kidding. You expect me to live in a place like this? This place is a dump. Literally, it was a dump. You know, so this is like, this is all going through my head. And then, so I'm thinking, oh, this is fun. So I grab my phone. And back then, I had a really tiny phone. It was a work phone. I think it was an iPhone 5. And if you remember, they're small. Tiny little thing. So I get my phone, so I want to take a picture of this, because I think this is great. And then I'm almost certain I saw the goose smile. And, you know, I know that's tough because they've got pretty solid beaks. But there was this grin, and he looked at me, and this is when I saw the little bubble above his head. And I'm thinking, and he's thinking to me, and he's going, dude, you know, is that an iPhone 5? Because I can just fly over this fence, go and rummage around the dump for a little while, and get you an upgrade. And I just went, oh, cold. It's just like, okay, yeah, that's just, again, how my mind works. So I thought to myself, okay, that's how it's going to be. So I just put the phone down because, hey, basically he showed me. So again, how my mind works. Sorry about that. But, and then the last reason why we're talking about geese today, it's a tribute to my mom. My mother, I'll explain to you later, one of the later slides, but we had devotions every evening. My dad was a pastor. And so we had devotions every evening, and my mom would often quote this particular verse in the Bible. So for me, it was kind of a sentimental tribute to her. So you'll hear about that right at the very end. So yeah, let's get moving. So the four characteristics of geese that we're going to discuss, that I'd like to talk to you about today, is that number one is they lift each other up, literally. And I will explain that. It has to do with the formation that they fly in. That V formation that you see them flying in all the time, there's a reason for that. So that's one of them. Next, please. They make a lot of noise. And they're communicating, and I'm sure you know that. I wouldn't even have noticed those geese if they were making the noise that they do. But for obvious reasons, they make noise on the ground for to let you know to keep away from them, etc. But there's a reason why they make the noise they do when they're flying, and we'll discuss a bit of that today. The next one, they make a lifelong commitment, which is something I found very interesting. Something you don't see in the animal kingdom that much. So I would love to expound on that a little today. And the last one is, hey, they protect each other. Yeah, firstly, so I'll explain that. So please, as we move on. Next slide, please. Okay, so why do geese fly in that V formation? I'm sure you guys all know, but I did a bit of research and I found this very, very interesting. I would like to share that with you. And then, of course, tie in some things that we can learn as believers and Christians. So please. Okay, so the formation helps geese fly in a more efficient way. As the birds in front create a certain air current, it makes it easier for the birds behind them to fly. So basically, the air goes over their wings, and then it dips, and the air that goes below their wings goes straight. So because of the difference in current, they get that lift. It's the same type of thing that works with a wing on a plane. But as the air goes over that wing, the bird flying directly behind that bird will get a slight lift because some of the air doesn't go straight around the wing but flies over the top, and that gives that bird that extra little lift. So what will happen is they'll fly. If you ever saw them head on, the bird, you got your first bird, they'll fly just slightly above the next bird. So actually the V goes this way as well as horizontally. So I just thought, hey, that's pretty interesting.
Snowbirds do that too.
Pardon me?
The snowbirds.
Is that right? Okay, that's perfect. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I just thought, hey, man, that's interesting stuff. And why does the formation change? And sometimes it looks like a J. Have you ever seen it where it just gets shorter on one side? And the reason for that is the lead bird is doing most of the work at the tip of the V. And once that bird starts to slow down, the bird either on one side or the other will shift and move into that lead position. So as you can imagine, as they keep shifting, you've got one side of the V that's going to get slightly shorter as one lengthens. They also hit, next one please. They'll also, if there's a crosswind, the long end of that V is better protected from the wind. So if they're flying and it's a perpendicular wind to them, they'll tend to fly, a lot more birds will fly on the downwind side. And they'll get a little more protection from the wind that they're flying into. So scientists have estimated that when the flock flies in this V formation, it improves, it's improved by 70%, which I thought was absolutely amazing. That was supposed to be a multiple choice question, but I missed that. We just threw it on there. I'm thinking, why is it 70 there? But no worries. I was going to get you guys to guess. So, but no worries there. So just we'll move on. So next, as Christians, it is essential that we lift each other up. And one of the verses that came to my mind was Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. For if neither of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is no other to lift him up. And so this verse highlights the importance of companionship in fellowship. And it teaches that when believers come together, they can support, lift each other up during difficult times and provide strength and encouragement. And that's pretty much what I got from that. The next one, please. We do need to lift each other up as believers and Christians. And a second verse that also stood out to me was 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And this verse encourages us to remain steadfast and unwavering in our commitment to the work in the Lord. It reminds us that our efforts are not in vain and that God sees and rewards our faithfulness. Even when we face challenges or discouragement, we can find encouragement in persevering and continuing to serve the Lord. Julie and I have faced some difficult challenges in the last month or so. And I'd have to say that the prayers from other believers and the support that we've had from our friends has made it possible for us to get through these difficult times. So just a personal note. Next one. Thanks. So why all the honking? So again, I would not have even heard the geese going over. I wouldn't even have looked up to see the geese if it wasn't for the honking. And I totally understand from what I've read, of course, that when geese are on the ground, they're honking, they're making noise because, A, they are territorial, so they're protecting their nests and their areas, and as well, and they're also telling others around them to back off. So if you've ever been close to geese when they have their little goslings around, you know perfectly well when they start squawking at you that, yeah, you need to give them a wide berth or you'll have... Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You got 20 pounds of mad bird coming at you, beak and all, and it's not a good thing. So it's also a warning. But for me, I wanted to know, hey, so why, when they're in the air, are they honking so much? Because yeah, they don't have any predators. There should be no issues there. So the reasons why is geese honk when they fly to communicate as a team. And what these honks are called flight calls. And I just found that interesting. And the next one, please. The honking enables the geese to get feedback on their flight form and saves vital energy for the flock. So if you can imagine a geese is flying and he's got basically three planes that he can fly. And he can go up, down, left, right, forward, back. Okay. And so this formation, from what I read, is within 2 or 3 inches will affect the flight of the bird behind you. So the bird behind you is basically telling you, hey, you need to move to the left, you need to move to the right, up or down. So that's how they keep those formations so tight, especially over long distances. Some of them, they can fly for as many as 8 to 12 hours a day. Yeah, it is quite interesting. Yeah. And the hawk, I think I mentioned that. Yes. And so, yeah, so if a goose isn't keeping to this formation, it will see feedback from the other geese to remind them to get back into position. This constant feedback helps the geese to stay focused on long flights, as I mentioned before. And as next one, please. So as Christians, we need to communicate. So one of the verses that, stood out to me was Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, not forsaking our own assembling together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This verse tells me that gathering together allows us to encourage one another in love and good works, strengthening our faith, and keeping us accountable to our walk in God. Next one, please. And another verse that stood out was this one, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. As believers, we are called to build each other up through kind words, support, affirmation, and strengthening one another's faith, and fostering a positive, uplifting community. And that's something I feel that our church has. I see it all the time. I was here early today, just getting set up with Jordan, and as people were just filing in, you could just feel the warmth from each of you as you come in. I know you guys enjoy being here, and I know I love it myself. And I see Gerald nodding away there. So, yeah, it's great to hear. We have a great community here, and we do support each other, and I'm grateful for that. Oh, this one deserved 3, actually, so I added another one. Romans 8:31, What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? When we face opposition or challenges, we can find strength and courage in the assurance that God is for us. With him as our ally, no obstacle can stand against us. This truth encourages us to face any situation with confidence and boldness. Next one, please. And last one here is, geese are committed to each other. Geese typically mate for life, forming strong pairs, bonds that aid in their raising of the young, and defending their nesting territories. This lifelong partnership provides social advantages, so apparently they do fly in flocks. These flocks are kind of like families, and so the longer a couple is together, the older they are, the more status they have, so they get preferential breeding ground, things like that. And then, of course, they have better access to resources, and that just makes sense that if there's two of you, one can protect the property or the territory and the young, while the other one goes foraging for food. So that's pretty much how that works. Please, next slide, please. So regarding commitment, Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Missed that one here. Here it is here. Sorry. So this foundational verse on marriage highlights the importance of unity and commitment. It teaches that marriage creates a new family unit where both partners are fully committed to one another, leaving behind previous ties in order to form a new bond. The one flesh concept speaks to the deep, intimate connection that marriage is meant to foster. For couples, it reminds them that their relationship is now the most important human relation they will ever have. Next one, please. Thank you. And another one. Okay, skip back a bit. Sorry, skip back one. I missed one. Next page. Yeah, Matthew 19. Oh, sorry, I already read that. My mistake, sorry. So this passage reminds couples of the deep spiritual bond they share, one that should not be broken. It encourages them to protect their marriage from outside influences and to honor the commitment that they've made to God. Next one, please. And one of the last things I'd like to talk about is geese protect each other. So if one of the mated pair or family members are injured, I've got a little bit of a demonstration, let me think. Who hunts here? Anybody hunts geese? Nobody? No hunters? Okay, that's good. Not a bad thing. Nuts? Yeah, I was thinking of Sean. I knew Sean did, so I was going to grab him. But let's get Sammy. Come up here, pal. Yeah, come up here. No, that's okay. It's okay. So roll on up here. I love little examples. If you don't remember anything that I said today, you'll remember this. Yeah, so come on up here. So I want you to, you're a geese flying along, so I need you to do some flapping. There you go. Oh, that's good. Just, you want to get some pictures of this? He's doing this rather well. And then I need somebody to make a nice loud bang. How about you, Mike? Let's hear a bang.
Bam!
Oh, you got winded. Oh, you got winged, man. I'm sorry. So now, this goes here. Let's get this on here. Yeah, you're hurt now. There we go, pal. And then, that's good. Let's just do a little bit of bandering up here. Let's get this. There we go, dude. Oh, yeah, you're doing all right there. Right? You'll be okay. Yeah. So now you're still flapping. So now you're winged. There you go. Now you're winged. And so what happens if, in the case of one of the geese gets injured, if it's in a mating pair or just in the family, another goose will actually fly down with the injured goose and guard that injured goose until it either recovers or dies. So that's I thought that was pretty amazing. So I'm going to fly you over to your, I'm going to go down with you back to your chair. Sweet. So here we go. Let's fly together. Let's go around a little bit there. There we go. You're doing a great job, pal. Doing an awesome job. And I'll get you back to your, and And hopefully you don't die.
Hopefully you don't get shot.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. So you're good. So I did find that amazing in a sense that I don't think that happens like deer. I'm pretty sure if a deer gets shot, everybody's gone. No one's coming back to see how you're doing. It's just like, sorry, dude. Yeah. You're on your own. But no, this is something that they do. And so what will happen is the geese will stay with that injured geese. And if it recovers, they just catch a ride on the next flying bee heading their way. Heading, you know, whichever direction they're going. So thank you very much, Sam. Great job. You're a good wounded geese. Next slide, please. We need protection as well. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. God's protection includes caring for our worries. As I mentioned, Julie and I, my last month has been basically one continuous worry. And this verse encouraged me to release my fears to God, knowing that his love and care extended to my anxieties and my challenges. I just knew that he was with me, but there were times where it was absolutely brutal, just trying to get up in the morning and just face what I had to face. But that is all taken care of now, I am glad to say. I'm here in Wolseley and facing each day, and I'm just grateful to be here, especially with my church community. Please, next one. Okay. So this is the last verse that I'm going to share with you. I mentioned before, and is a tribute to my mom. This is Yvonne Georgina Tittle, a.k.a. Mom. I think this was a picture when she got graduated. She was a nurse, but she also was a hairstylist. So this is the one picture that I could find that I had in Weyburn, so I took a picture of this. And why this verse is so important was, I think I mentioned before, was my mom. We had devotions, and eight out of 10, my mom would quote the following verse. So this as a tribute to her. Please, next slide. And it is, of course, Isaiah 40:31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not be faint. What I took away from this is if we attempt anything on our own strength, well, not only will we faint, but we're going to fail. By having our hearts and our hopes in heaven, we will be carried above all difficulties. And that's something that Mom instilled in me, and I'm glad she did. Mom's been gone for quite a while, since 97. But it's these verses and being raised in a Christian home and having a strong foundation in faith has helped me still to this very day. And only reason I'm here was her prayer, because there was a time where, yeah, I did go a prodigal there for a while. So it was Mom's prayers and my dad's prayers that brought me back. So I'm grateful for that. Next one, please. Okay, so my geese, I'm going to wrap up now, well before 12. my geese analogy... at work. So I just wanted to discuss a few things. This is the men's group that we have here. We had this last Saturday, November 2nd, and we had 19 of us. Oh, stay with that, thanks. We had 19 of us there, and I was just thinking about the points that I went through with you today, and how they relate to this group. So number one is uplifting, of course. We do. This group shares testimonies with us, among ourselves. I usually pick one or two guys to share a testimony, if they're willing. Of course, they don't have to. But what it does, it forges a closer-knit group. And what you find, you hear a lot of encouragement. Once you get to know a guy's story, it's just so much easier. You can reach out and just say, wow, dude, I have no idea what you went through. Or, hey, I went through a similar thing. And then you just get that, it works so much better. So that's one thing we do. We do encourage each other. As a group, we communicate with each other during the meeting. So, yeah, the guy's up there talking away, and we're talking to him, we're chatting, we're asking him questions. You know, it's not just like, I'm up here and you get to listen to me for however long, 15 minutes. No, it's going back and forth. Because, yeah, we have some questions, and some of the questions can't wait. So you just interrupt, and it works well. So it's more of a conversation that we have. And we also communicate after. I've known guys to get together and talk about things after. And then myself, I also try to connect with the guys. If I've heard something, I was talking to Sean just recently about his testimony. So this is things that we do. So we uplift each other, we communicate, and we're committed. We are fortunate to have a group of men who are committed to supporting the group, whether this will be going to one of our congregants' house and demolishing her basement for her because she needed to do a reno, or building shelves. I know Wayne's built some great shelves out there in in our shed, installing TVs. That TV was installed by us. Or something as simple as cleaning up after breakfast. It's never an issue. Tim and I are the first guys here, of course, but after, there's just a handful of guys who just are there to support you. They realize the work you put in, and we're usually out of here in no time. So I appreciate that. And then lastly, we do protect each other. When I start a list for the men's breakfast, which I typically do, because I need to know how much I'm ordering, how much bacon to buy, et cetera. Typically, of course, my name's first, Tim's next, because we're the two cooks. But the next person is Bob. Bob has not missed a single meeting since I've done these, since we started. I think we've been doing it for 5 to 6 years. But unfortunately, last Saturday, November 2nd, phone rings, and, you know, probably about 8 in the morning, because Tim and I are here cooking away. We've been here since 7. And so we pick it up, and Bob. It's Bob. And Bob, unfortunately, had to tell us that he couldn't make the meeting. And a bit of heartbreak, and you know he'd want to be there. So he did say that, hey, if I'm feeling a little bit dizzy right now, if I feel a little better, I'll come. And we told him, okay, no problem, we got you. You call us, we'll come and get you, because that's what we do. And we prayed for Bob. That was one of the first things before our meeting started. We just had a quick prayer, and we knew he was missing for the first time, and just lifted him up. And you got 18, 19 guys praying for you. You know that God is going to do some wonderful things. And, of course, look for a volunteer to pick up Bob if he decided he wanted to come. And that was not an issue. Yeah. Any one of those guys would have gone. So those are the four points that I brought up today that I already see at work just in our men's group, and it's something, of course, I would love to see at work in our church as a whole. I know the ladies have started having meetings now, and I'm sure you're gonna find that yourself, Helen, that the group gets that much closer and that much more support among each other once you know a little bit of each other's stories. So I'm grateful to hear that you're doing that now. We'll support you in any way. So please, that's it. So conclusion, please remember the next time that you see or hear geese, these points. One, they fly in a V formation to lift each other up, literally. And as believers, we need to lift each other up. We've got some tough times ahead of it. Everybody has challenges, of different types of challenges, and it's just so important that we surround each other with prayer. And even just a kind word, like I'm praying for you, is wonderful. Send a text if you happen to have their number. But do let each other know that you're looking after each other, that you're looking after them, please. The second one, they honk to encourage others as we should. So all that noise they're making as they're flying is they're encouraging them, and also they're helping them as they navigate. Hey, if you see another Christian that might be having some struggles, moving off their path a little bit, please, support them. Please let them know. Please let them know that you're there for them. And do it in a loving way. Pray on that and work forward with them. Next one is they're committed to their mates for life as God has commanded us to do. So I'll just leave that as that. And lastly, please, they protect each other as we must, because, well, there's a world out there that really isn't looking out for us. It's a difficult world. We're seeing much more challenges. We've got some changes in the states that I'm sure are coming in the next little while. And I just wanted to say that we need to protect each other in any way that we can, whether that's physically or just by prayer. Okay? And that is all I have for now. So we're done. You can call me Larry 1145 from now on. And I wonder if we have a closing song. Do we have one?